Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Good morning, everyone. I am not Lou Manfredini. He's Mr. Fix-It. I'm Mrs. Broke-It. I'm Wendy Snyder, and I'm surrounded by some great guys. First of all, Rob LaFrenz doing news this morning.
Good morning, Wendy.
Mark Carmen in the Sports Lounge.
Hi, Wendy. I love that intro for yourself. That's amazing.
That's great.
Iridian Fierro's producing today, and Lou is off, and Lindsay's off. And now the people that will get me through today's show, ladies and gentlemen, Rich Dykstra, Carrier Hall of Famer,
woo-hoo,
Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. Hello.
Hello, Wendy.
Nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
You're always looking all tan.
I just got off the boat.
Okay, lovey. Yeah. What boat?
The Regent. We went on a cruise with John Williams
last week. That's fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. John looked not as tan as you, actually.
I was outside more.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in. You always
You're
bail
welcome.
Me out when I'm in for Lou, because I need your help.
There you go.
And Jason Beck, nice to meet you for the very first time.
Thanks. Good morning, Wendy.
Jason is the remodeling consultant over at Erdman Outdoor Living, and welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I like living outdoors in the summer. It's super nice.
It's called camping.
No, I'm talking in my backyard.
Okay.
John Betke is here, Betke Plumbing, and partner and contractor with Plumbers 911. Nice to see you again, John.
You too, Wendy.
Thank you for
having me back. Yeah.
Thank you. I need you, so thank you for coming in. And now with two new knees. Michael Houston, sales manager over at Lindholm Roofing. Congratulations on you walking again.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks very much. I made it up here.
Well, that's all we need. And we have a phone number for you, listeners, 312-981-7200. It is the MegaPros phone line. One mega call does it all. And I know when Lou's on, he has a toll-free number, but we're in the studio today. We're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. So please call us, 312-981-7200. We can kind of field, well, I can't. You guys can field pretty much any question. Plumbing, HVAC, outdoor living, roofing, and then for the other stuff, do we just make it up? Is that what we do? I can't remember.
We can give good answers.
Yes, yes.
That's why we're here.
That is why we're all here, and I listen to Lou every Saturday morning. He does such a great job, and he has this new segment, the Saturday Stories at 9 o'clock, and I'm not doing that because I can't do it justice. But he gives a little story about some kind of history, and he wants you to just go, I didn't know that. But we're not doing that today. We're saving that for him.
Okay.
Is that cool with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was looking forward to it.
Do you have a story?
No, I have any
We could do the history of Malort in Chicago.
Well, you were listening to Mike Steven on the way in. Yeah. John Williams was talking about it earlier this week, too, and he had said that it began as a medicinal thing, but that's not really true, is it?
I don't think it's true. I think it was originally brewed, or if that's what it's called, as an alcohol.
Distilled
as an alcohol.
It is horrible. I'm sorry, Jepson people. It's not good. Although Blackberry Brandy had that same kind of effect. And I used to drink Mad Dog 2020 while in.
And there's Boone's Farm.
Who didn't? Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm was kind of tasty, you know, but Mad Dog was not that great. And Malort, not so much either. But it is a Chicago thing. And my older son does not drink. My younger son had his first shot of Malort at the Billy Goat Tavern. That's a perfect place to have it. He didn't like it, but yet he had a second one. I don't know why.
I had my first shot at a bar in Lombard, and it was cicada infused. It was probably on the news.
Yeah.
I had that.
I remember the whole, was this was years, like the,
About 3 years ago when cicadas were out.
Because they did cicada stuff the last time, I guess, 17 years.
Yeah.
Is that 17 years?
7 years, isn't it? I think it's seven. Maybe 17.
I don't know. But, you know, the cicadas have been coming every whatever years they come. There's different broods, you know
that. Locusts.
Yes. And I ate one, a chocolate-covered one once, but this was years ago.
Not bad.
It wasn't good.
Why would you want to eat a bug?
I don't know.
I would never eat a bug.
Well,
oh, you've
not,
eaten
not
bugs.
Not on purpose, anyway.
You've eaten bugs.
Yeah. Sure unbeknownst to you. All right, well, cancel our breakfast order then if you're not going to eat bugs today. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. And this 6 a.m. hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by a guy, Heating and Air, the official Mitsubishi mini split installer of House Smarts Radio. I got a guy. Yes, I do. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with your questions for our panel this morning. Rich Dykstra, Carrier Hall of Famer, and from Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning, Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, John Betke, Betke Plumbing, and Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. It's House Smarts Radio, and let me give you the phone number one more time, 312-981-7200.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
200. All right. This is going to be a long day, I have a feeling. I'm turning Rob LaFrenz back on, just so there you go. Your news thing.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. We're here to have fun. That's what we're doing today. 312-981-7200, House Smarts Radio. Lou is off today. I'm Wendy Snyder, and we're here with Rich Dykstra, Carrier Hall of Famer, and from Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. John Betke from Betke Plumbing, part of Plumbers 911. And Michael Houston, sales manager over at Lindholm Roofing. And let's say hello to Edie this morning. Hi, Edie. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's gorgeous, isn't it? That sunrise, it's beautiful today.
I haven't been out yet. I just woke up.
All right. Well, thanks for waking up with us. You wake up and you have a question right away. What can we help you with?
I've had a question for a few days. So I'm going to be replacing my drop ceiling in the basement. I've been doing research. The one I have is like 30-plus years old. It's fiberglass. And I'm looking at the microfiber, but then the microfiber ones say that there's a regular one and then more expensive that's sag-proof, mildew-proof. I'm just asking which one I should go with.
All right. Now, first of all, why are you replacing the ceiling? Is something wrong with it?
It's just old, and I just took some of the panels off, and they're like, they're fiberglass. It's like, oh, my God, it's like dirty up there. I got to get rid of this stuff.
All right. We had a drop ceiling in one part of our basement, and what does it look like above the drop ceiling?
Oh, it's just wood joints and pipes and electricity, electric stuff. So I was going to do drywall, but I thought it was just going to be way too much work.
All right, professionals, you guys can jump in here. John Betke, we were talking about this off the air.
Yeah, first off, the excess is a lot better with nothing covering it. And if that's even an option, you could save yourself a lot of money and just paint what's there.
You mean like spray paint the rafters and...
Spray paint the
rafters. That's what we did in our basement, and it looks really cool. And you don't... I mean, I like the look of it, and it gives you way more headroom.
And access. Anytime you need to service something, you're not attempting to pull those panels out, ruining the panels. It's optimal.
Is that something you'd be interested in, Edie, or no?
Of course I would, but my thing is the soundproofing. It's like the... upstairs, people walking and you can hear them talking.
So, Edie, they do actually, they have an application for that. They have a textured finish application that's sound reducing.
We used to call it a popcorn ceiling back in the day, but it's basically just a deeper foam application instead of spray paint that you would put in the ceiling instead of a drop ceiling if you wanted to go that route. Longevity, I think that's a great idea.
What does it look like? I mean, is that something that is, like if she wanted to spray paint it black or something, is that?
Yeah, you could still choose your color. Most people remove the existing drop ceiling, clean it up a little bit. Sometimes it involves, you know, wire ties and things like that. Make it the aesthetic a little better, and then choose your color, choose the, you know, soundproofing that you want to use and spray it in.
Would that be cheaper than replacing the whole drop ceiling?
I can't really speak to cost. What I can tell you is it would be a lot lower maintenance because, like the position Edie's in now, you're not going to be replacing it 20, 30 years down the road. It's something that would be permanent. And if building changes and things become different in that realm, at least you have an open canvas to deal with down the road.
I would think.
Yeah, and then when I replaced part of it or removed some of it, and it really looks good up there with the wood, actually.
Yeah, I like the aesthetic. I think it's nice. Some people are even actually staining the wood, so they're leaving the natural wood finish instead of covering it with a paint or a solid color, just because they like the unfinished wood, kind of the retro look.
Rich, you were going to say something?
I'm a drop ceiling fan.
You do like a drop?
Yep.
Can I just ask what the benefits of a drop ceiling are?
You can get at everything.
You can. You don't want a drywall. You just move those 2x2 panels off to the side, and you have access to all the plumbing and electrical fixtures or items up in the that are in the rafters, and they do provide an acoustical barrier of sorts. It's not a lot, but there's a coefficient rating for panels, different panels, and you can pick one. Obviously, the more coefficient or the higher the coefficient, the more expensive the panel. But Armstrong makes a lot of good-looking standard ceiling tiles that have an acoustic rating that are also fireproof.
Yes, that's what I've been looking at, Armstrong, and their A ratings.
Yep, Class A fire rated, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, those are pretty. Those are nice, and they'll give you a nice clean finish if that's what you're looking for.
And you have the grid work up already, so that's a big part of the cost.
Are the existing tiles...
And the microfiber, correct? Not the fiberglass.
Correct. Are the existing panels 2 feet by 2 feet, 24 by 24?
They're actually 2x4.
Okay.
And then little pieces I'm going to have to cut here and there.
Sure, of course, at the edges.
Are you doing this yourself, Edie?
No, my cousin's doing it for me.
All right.
I'll be supervising.
I'm really good at supervising. And actually, we didn't have a drop ceiling now that I'm thinking about it. We just had the rafters there and decided to paint it. So I guess you wouldn't know how everything looks until you took all the grids down and everything. So maybe it is better for you to keep with what you currently have, Edie.
Yeah, I'll just do some research and I go look on YouTube.
Look at the fissure. Look at the fissured F-I-S-S-U-R-E-D tiles. Those are the ones with the Class A and the acoustical rating, if that's what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I did see that word when I was looking it up. Yep. Okay, great.
That's a Michael Houston recommendation, and he seems to know his drop ceilings. Good luck.
Oh, this is the outside door living guy?
No, this is the roofer, the roofing guy.
He covers everything.
Okay. Yeah.
Literally.
I'm all over the place.
Earlier you said you're going to wing the rest, so I just want to make sure you're not just winging it.
No,
we're good at this.
Yeah.
If we don't have an answer, we'll get one.
Yeah, and I was kidding, Edie. I'm not going to give misinformation, although sometimes people call me misinformation. Okay. Well, Edie, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate your call.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a good day.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I guess drop ceilings, the benefit is it kind of hides things and
looks
easy
nicer.
Access.
They're pretty. It looks finished. This is a drop ceiling right here. You know, it's finished. It looks pretty.
But you lose some height there too, right?
Well, the ceilings are, 9 feet tall? So I don't think we lose that much.
No, because you're 8 feet tall and you can
I can reach
come
the
in
ceiling.
Under there.
I can reach the ceiling.
All right. Susie, we'll get to you after the news. 312-981-7200. You can call us. We have answers. We really do. And I was kidding. We're not going to make stuff up. Maybe we will, but we'll see. It'll be good information. It's House Smarts Radio. Again, if you have any questions, you can text them in as well. Rich Dykstra is here, Carrier Hall of Famer, Dornbos Heating and Air Conditioning. So if you have any HVAC, is it HVAC or HVAC?
Same thing.
So it's an either or, tomato, tomato? Either,
right, exactly.
Okay. And Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, and you guys cover everything.
Everything outdoors.
Everything outdoors.
Shade, decking, you name it.
Susie's going to have a deck question, so we'll get to her after the news this morning. John Betke from Betke Plumbing is here, and everybody has plumbing issues, don't they?
Every day, me included.
Yes. So if you have any plumbing questions, we've got you covered here on House Smarts Radio. And roofing questions, and I want to talk to you later about venting a bathroom fan. Is that something you'd need a roofer to do?
We can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Michael Houston is here, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. And we have got you covered this morning, and we are live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. And we've got news coming your way next here on 720 WGN. Wasn't it fun to skim stones along the river or the creek? Or did you say crick? I don't think anybody did except Jed Clampett. Hi there, it's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lou Manfredini today. It's House Smarts Radio. And we have Michael Houston here, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing, John Betke of Betke Plumbing, Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, and Rich Dykstra, Dornbos Heating and Air Conditioning. And thank you to Edie, who called. She was Lou's first call for the day. And now let's get back to the MegaPros phone line. One mega call does it all. And here is Susie calling us this morning. Hey, Susie, where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Lombard.
From Lombard. All right, what's going on this morning?
I currently have a completely wood deck that I think it's rotting a little bit because I can just see it completely peeling. And so we're staining it every single summer. And I know that he would mention he offers decking. Or is that something that I can put on top of something that's already not rotting? Or is that something I would have to completely replace? I just was curious about that. And if it's something I would have to kind of upkeep.
That's a great question. Are we supposed to do something to our decks?
Ideally not. Ideally not.
Well, mine, I feel like you have to because it's in direct sunlight. So it's supposed to be this like cherry red color stain. And it's really just a complete like natural wood because the sun has completely dried it out.
Yeah, that's one of the big problems with the wood decks. Obviously, over time, they're susceptible to rot and wear and tear. Some of the newer products out there would accomplish the goals you're looking for. I think a lot of the decking that's offered out in the marketplace, you hear about composite. We actually, at our company, we recommend a product called TimberTech. TimberTech is probably the most advanced decking material out there to date. The biggest reason homeowners love it is the lack of maintenance. You don't have to do anything. And it actually has a 50-year warranty that comes with it, too. So no staining, fading, warping, we call deflection, for 50 years. So it's an excellent product. If you wanted to stop the staining every other year, highly recommended. It's also great for resale value, too, if it does come time to sell.
But it's not wood, or it is?
No.
But I do want the wood look.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the modern products, you know, people heard about TimberTech. Composite decking was a big thing in the 90s going into the early 2000s. Composite was basically wood shavings combined with a plastic formed together to make a board. They wrapped it in a a surface that you would walk on and give it a color, and it would be wrapped on three sides. That was originally the way to get rid of the maintenance from a wood product. Now what they've done is they've stepped up and they use 100% PVC boards. So the boards have no wood in them. They have no sawdust or any fillers like that. So it extends the longevity of the board and gives you a better product with no maintenance for literally half a decade or half a century.
What do you think?
And if I wanted to schedule an appointment with you, would my husband kill me when he saw the price?
Well, maintenance-free always does have more of a cost than a traditional, wood deck would have cost. However, you're not going to be out there every summer or every 2 summers spending 2 weeks out of your very short time.
Yeah, that's true.
Doing that kind of thing. So, yeah.
You're paying kind of upfront for not paying later.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the resale value factor. Ideally, it comes out, into zero sum. You get a nice, enjoyable deck. You don't have to do any maintenance throughout the summer. You can enjoy all 2.5 months of summer that we get in this area.
We need more of that. How do we fix that?
can you take out, if I have an existing rotting deck, but there's some parts of my deck that are okay, can we put things on top of it to lessen the price?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's different options. It all depends on what exactly you're looking for performance on the deck. But we can certainly, you have the option of a redeck, which is where we keep the existing frame if that's, suitable for another application, another deck surface. We can do that as well, or we can do complete frame, replacement of the entire system. So it's entirely up to the homeowner, but ultimately building code becomes a factor at some point. If you're doing a permitted build, the inspector has his opinion of the frame, but we can always do piecework repairs to a frame, or we can do a whole new frame. It just depends on the condition when we get in there and take a look. And that's why we like to send one of our professionals out. They do a full comprehensive evaluation of what you have going on in your existing system, and then we make recommendations to tell you what we would think would be best, and we work in conjunction with you and our design team to give you a finished product that lasts for decades.
Oh, that's awesome. Honestly, I don't even know where what price decks even start at, so I appreciate all the information. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Susie. And if listeners are out there and want to get in touch with you guys, where should we send them?
So our website is erdmanoutdoorliving.com. You can schedule an appointment right there online. We have people working 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, and you can also leave an inquiry on our website as well.
Where did the word pergola come from? I've been dying to ask somebody that. You don't know.
I have no idea. That's a great question.
All right. Well, we're going to find the answer to that question. That's just such a weird word, isn't it?
From an Italian architect.
And what? So a pergola is basically a
clubhouse,
but with no roof, right? I mean, that's correct. What makes it a pergola is it's a
yes, yeah, correct. So no walls makes it a pergola. You usually have 4 posts going down to the ground and a canopy overhead. Some of them we do shoulder off of the house, so you can use your existing home foundation to support the load of half of a pergola if you wanted to do it that way. We have plenty of options, but the nice thing is with no walls, it generally doesn't affect your homeowner's tax. That's a nice benefit of it. So you can bring your indoor space outdoors without the expense in your taxes of adding a 3-season room, or even sometimes a covered patio can add to your taxable footprint. So
that is interesting. And you can hang lights and it looks really pretty.
Oh yeah. We have all sorts of cool lighting options. We've got the RGBW color changing LED lights around the outside. So you can set it up for your sports teams watching TV in your pergola. A lot of cool options.
All right, I have to give credit where credit is due. Rich Dykstra, the etymological evolution of the word pergola, if I may, Latin roots adapted by the Romans from ancient Greek designs. Pergola originally described structures that extended from buildings to provide sheltered walkways. Italian adoption, didn't you say that?
I said that.
The modern spelling and usage were adopted into the Italian language in the 17th century. The term entered the English language around 1645 to 1654 when diarist John Evelyn introduced it in his descriptions of Italian garden cloisters. Now, what is a cloister? See what happens?
It's a bunch of nuns when they get together.
No, that is not it. All right. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. So I had an upper deck and a lower deck when we purchased the house almost 30 years ago. And the lower deck to me was really stupid. It was only like maybe 8 inches off the ground and there was a railing. Mm. So we knocked the railing down and then everybody kept kind of twisting their ankle. And then the dog started just digging on it because rabbits were going underneath. Needless to say, that's gone and now pavers are there. But all the moss growing in between the bricks, what do we have to do to, is there upkeep on that too? Am I supposed to be doing something outside?
Between the pavers?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lou's got a nice product.
What is it?
Wet and Forget.
That takes care of the moss?
It will clean off the moss, mold, mildew, algae, off your bricks, your pavers, your roof in some cases,
driveway. Wet and Forget it?
Wet and Forget.
Look at you, Michael Houston.
I actually used it yesterday on my shed.
It's a good product.
White door on my shed that had a little, mildew on it.
Yep.
Really?
Just sprayed it on there, walked away. It goes away immediately.
On a wood roof, mostly on the northern exposures, we have a lot of moss, mildew, lichen, if you will, if I pronounce that correctly, buildup. And we use a passive application, just basically out of a bug sprayer, for lack of better words. Of Wet and Forget. It's a mixture you buy. I think it's about a 4 or 5 gallon container. It's light blue, almost looks like windshield washer fluid. Hmm. You mix it 5 to 1 with water. You spray it on. Within a couple days, it turns the moss, mildew, mold black, and then Mother Nature tends to wash it away. Right, because you're not going to want to pressure wash a roof, especially an older cedar roof, especially a cedar roof that has moisture attached to it in the form of the vegetation. Wet and Forget.
What a great answer, Michael Houston. I appreciate that.
Hey, and we just touted Lou's product at his store, too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're back with more questions. The number to call, 312-981-7200. We can handle it all, right?
Absolutely.
We got this.
We do. We got this. It's House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN. It is House Smarts Radio with me, Wendy Snyder. Lou Manfredini is off for the week, and I know normally he has a toll-free number for you guys to call, but we're here in the studio today. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. John Betke is here, Betke Plumbing. Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, and we have Carrier Hall of Famer Rich Dykstra from Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. I have a plumbing observation that I would like to bring up. We had our basement permasealed, because I use that as a verb, and we had our yearly service, we have an outdoor vault. We wanted to keep that up to date. And the permaseal plumber says to me, there's a lot of toilet paper here. And I said, well, you know, what do you want me to do about that? And he's like, what kind of toilet paper do you use? And we had some backup, and I didn't realize that I was using 4-ply toilet tissue. I didn't even know they made 4-ply. I'm going to blame my husband. I liked it.
It's like duct tape.
4-ply is almost like an 8-foot 2x4.
There you go.
It was like a towel. But I guess that doesn't disintegrate properly. So the permaseal guy says to me, you got to use different toilet paper. And I said, you're kidding me. This is going to back things up. So we started using, Lou said, I've always talked about Scott toilet paper. But that's 1-ply. I can't go from 4-ply to 1-ply.
No.
So I use Angel Soft, which is 2-ply, and it says right on there that it's okay for septic systems. We don't have that, but we did the test in water, and it broke down. So I didn't realize toilet paper could mess up your whole system.
We make those recommendations all the time. If somebody's got a compromised sewer, but they can't afford 20,000-40,000 to dig up all the way to the street.
Yes.
It's a lot cheaper to buy cheaper toilet paper, right? Septic tank safe. If it says septic tank safe, it's gonna go down any sewer. So
I just really I have to apologize. I think his name was Manny. He was great. And I'm like, really? You're telling me to change the toilet paper? I had no idea. And we did have a backup. It was, they used the camera. They rotted it out. Tons of tree roots. And when you have really thick four-ply toilet paper that doesn't disintegrate, it gets caught on the tree roots. And then you're in trouble. So we went to cheaper toilet paper, and we're going to check out with the camera, and hopefully things will be good. Because he did mention, well, you could get a whole new, you know, you have a very old house. We could, you know, rip up your floor and put in a whole, but I'm like, no.
Put a bidet. Put a bidet in.
No.
You still got to take care of those roots, though.
Yeah, and they did.
Good.
Definitely. And once you have roots, do they grow back?
They do, but it depends how they get rid of them. If you just rod, they're going to grow back a lot quicker. They make chemicals that'll kill the roots about 3 feet out of the sewer, and then they're out for at least a year. So,
is there something that you flush down the toilet or down the drain, a chemical that
you add it to the drain and it foams so that it gets the bottom, the sides, and the top of the sewer? So,
is there something I should be flushing down our toilet with the Angel Soft toilet paper? Which, by the way, the fresh linen scent is very good. It's just the tube. It smells so good, I can't stand it.
There used to be a chemical, I think it was RD, Root Destroyer. It was a copper nitrate.
Yeah, that's one of them, but it only gets the bottom of the pipe. There's another product called Root X that foams, and it encompasses the entire inside of the pipe, so no matter where the roots are coming in, it attaches to them.
Is that safe?
It's safe, but you don't want to do it from the toilet because it foams fast, uh-huh. So you want to do it from a clean-out.
Okay.
Where they rod from.
Yeah, I actually know what a clean-out is, and they did like a power wash thing.
Hydrogen.
Yes.
Yep.
So that
very effective for cutting roots.
Yeah, And the camera, I got to tell you, I don't know why I'm so impressed, but it's kind of cool to see down there.
They're even color now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great.
25 years ago, you had to go black and white. Now they even got color, self-leveling, pretty fancy stuff.
And what do you recommend? Like, now that we've had issues, is that like a yearly thing that I should do the camera or just...
Not the camera. So if you're treating the sewer like with chemicals, like I shared... Maybe 3-4 years, every 3-4 years, put a camera in, see how effective it's been. But, yeah, not every year by any means.
All right, because it was like, oh, it's backing up by the laundry tub. I thought there was an issue with that, but no, it was just completely blocked.
From the main.
From toilet paper, you guys. They also have a lavender scent, Angel Soft.
I got to say, I've never smelled my toilet paper.
Oh, you would if you had this. The lavender was, I normally like lavender, but it was very fake, very chemically. And then I went with the fresh linen Angel Soft, and that is magnificent.
Just too much toilet paper talk, Wendy.
I didn't realize how important toilet paper was to plumbing. I know that sounds stupid, but why do they make four-ply paper then, John? I mean, that just seems crazy. I know it's more comfortable, but...
That's about it for the comfort.
But you don't know as a homeowner that that's going to mess you up down the line.
No, they make the flushable wipes that are even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are indestructible.
Yeah,
those are going to clog your sewer.
Are not flushable. I mean, they go down, but that's it.
It'll get past the toilet, but then it's going to clog your sewer. Guaranteed.
And what about, you know, when I've made beef stew and I have some extra greasy stuff that I don't know what to do? Is that okay to flush down the toilet?
No.
Well, not the stew. If you have a garbage disposal.
I don't.
Okay. Well, if you had a garbage disposal, you could put it down the garbage disposal. It'll chop it up enough and it's not a problem.
But, okay.
But don't put
maybe that was part of my backup in the sewer as well. Stew and toilet paper. All right, we are going to take a break. And listeners, we are here for you. It's Wendy in for Lou. It's House Smarts Radio. Same show, different people talking today. Rich Dykstra, Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. John Betke, Betke Plumbing. And Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. And Rob LaFrenz has your news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Let's everybody do together. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. We have a number for you to call today as we're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. 312-981-7200. That is the number to call. We have Michael Houston here today, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. John Betke from Betke Plumbing, a partner and contractor with Plumbers 911. Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, and Carrier Hall of Famer Rich Dykstra from Dornbos Heating and Air Conditioning. Let's talk getting our HVAC system ready for summer. I thought of you, Rich, because I went and bought my 20 by 25 by 1 inch filters.
Okay.
And I bought a 3-pack, and I bought cheaper ones for the cooler, I mean, for air conditioning.
Right.
And, boy, was it filthy when I took it out.
Oh, yeah.
Are you supposed to do that every month or every 3 months?
I would do it every month.
Yeah.
Do it every month.
And is it okay to get the cheap filters?
See, that's where Lou and I have a fight.
Yeah, I guess. I bring this up every time I fill in, too.
He wants the high-density pleated filters. And they work a lot better than the cheap ones, but they get clogged up a lot quicker than the cheap ones.
Yeah, and they're not as porous, right? So
right. And so there's
makes your
schools.
Furnace work harder?
Well, the problem with air conditioning, if you don't have airflow, it'll ice up. The coil will ice up. So that's why it's important to keep on your filters.
Okay.
During the summer especially.
That's interesting you say that, because there's also discrepancy on whether or not you should leave it on auto or leave it on as the air conditioning is going. I leave it on all the time with the heater.
Right.
And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to do it for the AC too. Am I doing the wrong thing?
Oh, no. The blower on my furnace has been on probably for 20 years.
I believe you.
Yeah. It's not, because with the Carrier equipment, it drops into a low, real low blower. So you're just moving air. And that's what you want to do, especially when it's hot out, really hot out or really cold out, keep the air moving.
And is it just my old house with very, very bad duct work that when you're on a spell of long 90-degree days that your house can't keep up very well? Or is it like everybody's houses?
Everybody's house, but you should have your attic insulation checked.
Yeah, I know. I got to call PermaSeal on that.
Yeah.
I
had my house done, and I walked in, you could tell the difference. I'm an R60 or something up in the attic, and it really makes a difference.
And you really don't think about insulation in the summer. You only think about it in the winter, but it really makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right. So I just get, because they have the really cheap filters, the blue ones that are see-through. I don't use those.
No.
I use the disposable, because who wants to wash those blue things?
Yeah, it's you don't want to do that.
All right. But monthly, you're thinking, huh?
Yep.
All right. Here's another HVAC question from Tommy this morning. Tommy, how's it going?
I'm calling you from Walnut Creek, California.
You bragger.
We don't service there.
What are you doing in Cali?
Well, it's still dark outside, but I'm into green energy.
Okay.
I helped design the BofA security system 30 years ago.
I don't know what that is. Hang on. I don't know what that is. The BFA?
BofA? Bank of America.
Oh, Bank of America security system.
Yeah, 30 years ago.
Wow.
And I worked with a man named Jerry Baker. He was a great guy. And four other women. But the problem was is the women never saw the end result because Mr. Baker didn't want anybody knowing except me and Mr. Baker. And that was in the contract. I'm going to get to my question, though.
Yeah, because you've lost me. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Tommy. Okay. What's your question?
I'm building a completely DC home. All the electricity in the rebuild is all DC. There's never going to be AC inside the house here.
Wait, what's... You're speaking in code. I don't know what you're talking about. You got it, Rich?
It's electrical.
All right, so what's
power.
BC?
Yeah.
Oh, DC, battery. Okay.
AC, DC.
Yep. Okay. Oh, great band, rock and roll. Yes,
go on. The thing about it is, Lisa, right?
No. Bill, right?
Wendy.
Tommy.
My
Tommy.
Name is Tommy, okay?
I know. My name's Wendy. Okay, nice to meet you.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Wendy, yeah.
Yeah, get to your
I'm
question, please.
About Lisa Dent. Listen.
Good. I'll tell her that.
When you build something from AC to DC or DC to AC, you lose a little skinny in the transformation of the transfer of power. Is that true, yes or no, Bill? And the answer is yes.
The answer okay. is yes.
Yes.
Most of our systems are on DC now.
Do you have a question, Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to build a DC AC, DC air conditioning system. Is there a possibility of doing that, yes or no?
Oh, coming from AC to get it onto DC. Is there a way to do that?
That would take engineering.
Yeah, it definitely would be an engineer.
It would. The construction would be completely different.
You'd probably need a whole new system and
Very
everything.
Very expensive, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Don't yeah. RVs run off of a DC system, their HVAC in an RV, a recreational vehicle?
I don't know.
Yeah,
so
know.
Maybe you would need a very large
transformer or something like that.
Something, yeah, transformer or something, a very large, similar to an RV HVAC system.
Let's pause and think about it a little bit while we take a commercial break. And Tommy, we'll try and help you here. 312-981-7200. Tommy called. So can you. We're going to take a break here. It's House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We are definitely rolling with it today. It's Wendy Snyder in for Lou Manfredini. It's House Smarts Radio. And in the studio, Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. We have plumber John Betke from Betke Plumbing. Jason Beck from Erdman Outdoor Living. He's their remodeling consultant. And Carrier Hall of Famer Rich Dykstra, Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. And we have listener Tommy, and Tommy, you have started a whole little quandary. There are people talking about this AC to DC power in the studio. So very quickly, no one can stop talking about this, Tommy. So look what you've started.
Hey, Wendy.
Why did I do this? Yes, Tommy.
You remember last week and I was on your show in the morning?
No.
And I had my friend Mark Dieter and Mike Hacker, truck drivers, and we
took
the call.
Yes.
This is Tommy Phillips.
Well, Tommy Phillips, now I'm putting you back on hold. Always a pleasure to talk to you. But John Betke, you were saying that it's a novel concept.
It's a great concept. But the equipment would have to be designed to run off DC because of the loss in translation, which, Tommy, you sound like you already knew that. So you're going to have to talk to manufacturers, Carrier, and see, especially in California, where something like this would be popular, and see if that concept's being put to engineering.
There you go, Tommy. Great to talk to you again. And, John, you mentioned something which is true. You're kind of surprised it hasn't been turning up in California yet.
Absolutely, because they're
DC efficiency hasn't really come to the forefront yet.
No, and even here, you know, with plumbing, our backup power for like pumps.
Yeah,
we use batteries to power AC pumps, but the batteries don't last long because the transition loses so much power. So, fortunately, in plumbing, we have DC pumps to run off the batteries, so it can be done. It just has to be engineered.
All right. Well, thank you for calling again, Tommy. We appreciate it. And let's say hello to Larry. Hi, Larry. Thanks for calling this morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I'm calling from Beloit, Wisconsin. I'm right on the Wisconsin-Illinois borderline. I'm getting ready to replace my sink, and I'm trying to turn my water off underneath the sink, and I got line built up, and I've been told to tap it a little bit and put a wrench on it, and knowing me, I will have a big problem. Is there anything I can put on that to try to break that lime up, please? It's been on there for quite a few years.
No. What you got to do, do you know where your main water shutoff is?
Yes, I do.
Turn the house off and replace those emergency shutoffs. Put in quarter turns with stainless steel balls. They'll last a lot longer, and they'll work. Anything you do with those old emergency shutoffs, it's going to go horribly wrong. It's going to break. You're going to have a flood. Don't even bother. Just replace
them. Don't even try.
No.
Okay.
Get them replaced. It's worth it.
All right.
There you
All
go.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Good luck to you. I was going to say use WD-40. Would that work?
It's locked up actually inside the valve.
Oh.
Yes, it's been leaking and it's showing on the outside by the handle, but it's the inside of the valve that's shot.
Okay.
It's just not worth
What if you loosen the packing nut and broke it loose?
Again, as a professional, I would never recommend a homeowner to do that.
Because you'll have a flood.
They're not going to know what
yeah.
to do.
It,
like
and,
the Three Stooges, yeah. there'll be water coming everywhere.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that'd Stooges be funny. Mark, where are you calling from this morning?
Monticello, Indiana.
Well, welcome to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini is off today. I'm Wendy, and we've got a panel of experts with us. What's your question?
I have a question for Rich Dykstra.
Okay, fire away.
I bought a PermaDry system. I worked with Robert Borshevsky. What a great guy, and his knowledge is fantastic. And then I purchased the system. The tech brought it out, set it up, and he said, run this until things get settled at 50%. Don't go below that. I've run it for 9 months that way and works great, but I'd like to lower it a little bit, like the flooring guys and, you know, everybody else says keep it between 30 and 50.
35%
seems a little high.
35% is ideal.
Can I turn that down to that?
Absolutely.
He said it. The tech said it would void the warranty if it ices up.
No. There's a filter on it, I assume. Just, you know, keep an eye on that it's clean. But,
yes.
You know, I've got basically the same system at my house. I've had it set at 35% forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem at all with that.
There you go,
Thank
Mark.
You. Thanks.
Is that like a humidity?
Dehumidifier type thing.
Okay. That's wrong information. Why would somebody say that and void the warranty?
Who knows?
Hmm.
Who knows? That's where training comes in.
Yeah. There's 773 has said RV air conditioners run off of 120 volts. I have two 150,000 BTU air conditioners on my fifth wheel RV. My heater runs off propane and a 12-volt furnace.
Or 215,000, not 150,000.
15,000, I'm sorry, yes. So does that make sense to anybody, what I just read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a way to kind of,
those
are you mentioned an RV.
You just said 120 volt, that's AC, AC voltage.
Ah, all right. I have an RV. It uses AC and not DC to run the air conditioning. And Lou uses Scott toilet tissue and recommends no garbage disposal.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting. I don't have a garbage disposal, so I'll say, you're right, Lou, because I don't want to get one installed. But I think they're great.
They're amazing.
Really?
When they're installed in an appropriate situation. Just like tankless water heaters, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody should have a tankless water heater. Your home might not be able to support it, might not have enough gas pressure. A garbage disposal, if your pipes are adequately run, properly vented, it's a dream. And it's good for the environment. Why throw all that stuff in the trash? It can go to the sanitation plant and it becomes fertilizer somewhere.
That's interesting. Hey, Debbie, how's it going this morning?
It's good. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
I have a plumbing question. In our shower, the water is barely coming out of the shower head, and it seems at least half of it, if not more, is coming out of the spigot down below. How do I fix that?
That's probably, so you've got a diverter spout where you pull a little lever up.
There's a third knob we turn, yes.
A third knob. So that faucet might need to be rebuilt. The diverter in the wall might just need new washers to properly divert that up to the shower head. Because with a third handle for diversion, you shouldn't see anything coming out of the spout. It should
be 100%. There's more coming out of the spout than the shower head.
Yeah,
is that something I can do myself?
Well, sure, if you're handy.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Can you hang on through the news, Debbie? And maybe we could talk about this after the news. Does that sound like
something? Love
to. All right, cool. All right, so you think of a plan for Debbie, John. And we're going to take a break and do some news. It's House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN. And Debbie, hold on the line. We are going to help you with your shower head issues. But first, we are going to listen to a new product as it's new to Lou, too.
This weekend's new to Lou 2 is a modern essential for any bathroom. Sleek, comfy, easy to install, and leaves you feeling refreshed and cleansed. Right now, you might be asking yourself, what is this amazing spa-like product she's talking about? Well, folks, I'm going to tell you. It's a good old-fashioned bidet. The Brondell Swash Eco Seat Bidet is a non-electric bidet toilet seat that gives you A-plus bathroom hygiene with its soothing freshwater wash that leaves you feeling clean and rejuvenated. The Swash Eco Seat uses no electricity, no batteries, but only water pressure to, you know, rinse off. With its refreshing wash that reduces your environmental impact because you'll use less toilet paper and monthly electric bill all at the same time. With dual retractable nozzles and adjustable water pressure, this eco-friendly bidet toilet seat leaves you feeling clean and confident. While the description says it's the perfect starter bidet, customers actually say it's the only bidet you're ever going to need. I wonder if they also say bidet all day, like rosé all day. Get it? Just a thought that I probably should have kept to myself. Anyway, ringing in at $79.99, the product is easy to install with no tools, gets job done, and provides thorough cleaning with front and back wash options. So get rid of that swass and consider the Brondell Swash EcoSeat S101 bidet. All day.
For more information, check out the House Smarts YouTube channel.
And be sure to like and subscribe.
That's adorable. All right. Thank you, Lindsay. And I'm sure a bidet will come up during our conversations today. It's Wendy in for Lou, House Smarts Radio, and we have John Betke in the studio, Betke Plumbing, Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. Jason Beck's here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living and Rich Dykstra, Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. And Debbie joins us once again because, Debbie, you have problems with your shower, and I believe John is going to talk you through maybe a DIY thing.
Yeah, so,
good, I got a pen and paper.
All right, so Debbie, the ultimate fix would probably be rebuilding that diverter. But where you could start, take that shower head off, make sure it's clean. That could be aggravating it. But the way that diverter works, you should be able to shut it off and get zero water out of the spout while it's pushing it up to the shower head. So, but start by cleaning the shower head. If that doesn't solve it enough for you, YouTube it. Take a YouTube video, watch it. It'll show you how to rebuild that diverter. And if you're somewhat handy and have a few tools and access to a hardware store, you can get it done.
Okay, so I'm going to YouTube rebuilding a shower diverter?
Yep. And if you have Google on your phone, you can use the little multicolored camera button, and it'll tell you what faucet you have. It's Google Lens. So you take a picture of it. It'll literally tell you what faucet you have so you know what to get when you go to the hardware store.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much.
Yep. Good luck, Debbie. You need to call back Lou after you've succeeded and tell him about this in the future, okay?
Sounds good. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too. I love trying things myself. It's worth a try, and if you don't succeed, then you call in the professionals. I am going to, with my neighbor Jack, who's very handy, I've been, my husband plugged in a space heater, and one of our circuits blew, because it was a dedicated server for the dryer, and the dryer was on when he plugged that thing in. So I can't flip the circuit back. And so my neighbor Jack's like, oh, you can just replace the circuit. So we're going to do that. Lou has told me, no, don't do that, that you could get electrocuted.
Yeah, that's very possible. If it's not tripping back, it could be a bigger problem. You might have burned a wire within the conduit. So you replace that breaker, it might, you probably have a dead short. So it give it a try very carefully, but you're probably going to end up getting a professional out there.
All right. Well, it's worth, everybody agrees there, huh? Because that
200-year-old house could go up in flames.
Well,
yeah, that's it. You don't have conduit there probably either, and cloth
wire. Well, the new breaker, you won't be able to reset the new breaker either. It'll automatically pop, especially if there's
a dead short.
I didn't realize, and, you know, I know we're into summer right now, but this probably has the same thing to do with a plug-in air conditioner, right? It's so much wattage in your cottage, man, you're going to blow it.
Draws a lot.
All right. Just so everybody knows, and we're on the same page. Audrey, how are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. All that talk about batteries, kind of home alone, and I was thinking sump pump, battery. My house is only 4 years old, but how do I know, or what do I do to make sure that battery works and I don't need a new battery? And who do I call to even check it out? I'm just nervous now that the next storm I'll be in trouble.
Oh, darn it. We lost the call. Audrey, you can call back and we'll put you through, but I understand what Audrey's talking about. There's a battery backup for a sump pump.
Now, if she said the house is 4 years old, but if that battery's 4 years old, replace it.
How long do these things last?
Not long.
A water acid battery where you got to put the distilled water in, it can last longer, maybe 5 to 7 years if you really push it, but a maintenance-free battery, 3 to 5 years tops. So she's just about there anyways. So again, it's disconnecting the black side, the negative, and the red side, the positive, and changing out the battery.
Wouldn't a four-year-old system test itself on occasion automatically?
Depending on the system. It'll normally, the higher tech systems are going to have a digital readout that says battery life is done.
Right.
But a low tech system might not.
All right. Well, Audrey, I don't think she has called back, but hopefully she was listening. And as her question is, how do you know? I've heard that you're supposed to be checking your sump pump somewhat regularly. I don't, so I get a yearly inspection from PermaSeal to come out and do it. So that would be something she could do, is call someone to come out and check it.
Find somebody that does preventative maintenance inspections, and they'll check it. What they'll do, depending on the system, some systems test themselves monthly, right? But if it doesn't, having that person out, they test it, they unplug the AC pump, test the DC pump, make sure it's working. But to be proactive and change the battery when it kind of reaches the end of its useful life just makes sense. Why wait?
Audrey, it's time, so don't wait. 773 has asked, can you install a garbage disposal if you have a septic tank? Does it have to be a special kind?
Yes and yes. So you can install it on a septic tank. InSinkErator brand actually makes a biosafe garbage disposal for septic tank use. And it actually has an enzyme on the side of the disposer that puts an enzyme in to help break down that added food waste.
Okay, and you can, when we got our kitchen redone, we were going to add a garbage disposal. So that's something you can do at any time. You just need electric near the sink. I mean, I'm not doing it myself, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you would just need electric. And this is, you know, Lou doesn't like garbage disposals. That's because a lot of people put them in where they shouldn't. Now, I would have to see your plumbing and your house. If you've got an inch and a half kitchen waistline, I wouldn't recommend putting it in. You got to have at least 2 inch. You also have to make sure that it's pretty clean. You don't want a pipe that's almost clogged shut, and then you're trying to get food waste through it. So you want to properly survey the home.
And that's something you'd call a plumber for, right?
100%.
Okay.
90% of all in-home kitchen waistlines are 1.5 inch, though, right?
No. Well, depends how far you go back. Wendy's house is really old. It's probably 1.5 inches. Any new houses are going to be 2 inch.
Okay.
That's the addition, though, where the kitchen is. That was put on in the 80s,
Is
I
it
think.
In PVC?
Yes.
Then it's probably 2 inch. So you're probably fine.
All right. I still probably won't get one.
A lot of people take advantage of a garbage disposal and end up putting the whole, everything left over from dinner down it.
Yeah.
That's where Lou's has a problem. They're dumping a whole
bowl
of grease.
Bones and everything.
Bones and everything trying to get through it.
Thanksgiving, and this is not an exaggeration, I tell my plumbers this story, my entire turkey, once it's been deboned, all those bones go down the disposer. I'm not kidding. 100% of that turkey goes down the disposer. If it's properly done, running the water, it's not an issue. I've even made a video for my guys to see. Here's my turkey. Here's Thanksgiving dinner. Goodbye. And it it's fine.
Wow, you can dispose of the body that way.
There you go.
Think about that this Saturday morning.
That was a strange look you just gave, Wendy.
Yeah.
Maybe I do want a garbage disposal. All right, we have to take a quick break, and then back with your calls, 312-981-7200. It's House Smarts Radio on WGN. Let's go back to the Mega Pros phone line. One mega call does it all. Let's say hi to Don. He's calling us this morning. Hi, Don.
Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning to you. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to make a comment about the battery backup sump pump. I have one of those high-end ones. And for a month, you know, I'm on the main floor. My daughter's up on the second floor. I said, what's the beeping down there? When it went up for a month, so they go down and they press some button, it'll stop the beeping. So I come to find out, I call my brother-in-law, who's a plumber. He comes over and he says, yeah, your battery backup was working, but your sump pump went out. If it wasn't for that battery backup, I would have a problem. So I recommend everybody gets a battery backup.
Yeah. And the beeping was a problem, right? You're not supposed to just shut it off?
It was letting him know.
Well,
the primary
beeping was,
pump
failed. Oh.
Yeah, primary pump, but there's codes on there. It's one of those high-end ones.
Yeah. I have a low-end one.
Well, thank goodness for that, but they didn't know how to read the codes on there.
Yeah. But wouldn't you call someone?
You should. Don't just silence it.
Yeah, beeping in the basement, I'm calling. What does this mean? But it's good it worked out for you, Don.
Well, yeah, but I got one more. It's kind of a humorous thing here. When I was younger, I was working with my dad in a high-end house, and you were talking about bidets, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in the bathroom. I think I was taping off baseboards. I'm thinking, what is this actually thing in the bathroom? So he goes, hey, wherever I press, I got squirted right in the face. It was a bidet. So I got my face washed. I'm thinking, what is this thing? Yeah.
Wrong end.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Don. You know how to use
it.
You know how to use it now, right?
I don't have one in my residence right now, but I'm like, what is this thing? I'm waiting up my dad and say, this thing just shot me in the face. I got my face washed.
It's not for your
face.
For
day.
Yeah.
I know.
Not for your face.
I didn't know I was young.
All right. Oh. Well, Don, you have a great weekend, and thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you.
All right. That's Don. That made us all chuckle. Fred has called this morning. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. I was wondering what that chemical was, the name of the chemical that you put down the trap that
the foaming
comes up.
Yeah, so that's
foaming,
Root-X. So root, R-O-O-T hyphen X.
Just the letter X.
Just the letter X, Root-X.
Okay, and you can put that in your opening for the trap.
Well, no, you don't put it in a trap, and I wouldn't recommend doing it in a toilet. The best spot to do it is through a clean out. The instructions with the Root-X are very, very specific on how to apply it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any other little tip that you can think of about applying it offhand?
Well, like I said, don't do it in your toilet. It's possible.
No,
but
I wouldn't do it there.
Yeah,
I have an opening there. You might say that you can in a
clean out. Yeah, and then the other key point: once you've applied it, that foam should sit. So do it in the morning before you go to work. Do it in the evening before you go to bed. You don't want to flush that foam out. When you apply it, it should sit for at least 6 hours, eight's ideal, and then you're all set.
And I'm getting the feeling, Fred, that you don't know how to open the clean out, and that's why you're trying to find another place to get it down the pipes. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I do know where the clean out is.
All right.
Yeah.
But that's
I just used the wrong term. I used the word trap, but
clean
out is what we're really talking about. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Awesome. Well, good luck to you.
And you put the whole container in when you do it?
It depends on the size of the pipe. The instructions are very specific. If you're in Chicago, we have 6-inch sewers. A 4-pound can will cover about 75 feet.
I'm in Milwaukee, so I don't know what the size is.
You know, if it's 4-inch, you can go a little bit longer distance, but typically a 4-pound can covers 75 feet of sewer.
Oh, 75 feet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And how much is the can? Did you say how many ounces?
Oh, gosh, you'd have to. It's 4 pounds.
Oh, 4 pounds.
Four pounds. Yep.
All right, Fred, good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay. I actually wrote that down too, root X. Mm-hmm. But how do you open that clean out?
With a wrench.
With a wrench.
Oh.
You should talk to your, if it's PermaSeal, whoever's doing your sewer maintenance, let them know you want to use a foaming root killer. It'll be less intrusive on the sewer. You don't have those cables going through it. You don't have that 4,000 pounds of water pressure with a hydrojetting machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better for the sewer.
That's interesting. And it deteriorates the roots? I mean, what does it...
It kills them.
It's copper nitrate.
It literally just kills the roots to a point about 3 feet out the sewer. It's not going to kill the tree. And then when they grow back, they're just growing back as finger roots again. When you just cut them, they're still in the pipe wall, and they're gonna continue to destroy your sewer. So chemically treating is by far the best way to go.
And so my question is, how is that safe to go into the sewer system then if it's a chemical like that?
Well, they treat municipal sewers with
it. Oh, okay.
So cities do. So I can't answer that technical question, but villages actually use it in their main lines. They put it in with a pump truck, and they treat the sewers.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Root X. I will be doing that or having my neighbor Jack do it for me.
Root X is going to attack organic debris. It's not going to attack or scorch the piping, whether it be ceramic or cement or
PVC.
It's only going to attack the organic matter.
Yep.
That is interesting. All right, we have to take a quick break for news. And then, listeners, we are here for you, 312-981-7200. It's Wendy in for Lou. It's House Smarts Radio. And news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What a wonderful Saturday morning. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lou Manfredini. He has taken the weekend off, which he very rarely does. You can reach us in the studio on the MegaPros phone line. One mega call does it all, 312-981-7200. And in the studio with us today, Rich Dykstra, Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning, Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. We have John Betke from Betke Plumbing and Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. And it looks like we have some more plumbing questions. This is usually how it starts, John. It's like no plumbing questions, and then once one person has a plumbing question, they all come in together. So, George, what do you got for us?
Hi. I have a hot water heater problem. I had to change the anode rod, and when I installed a new one, it was leaking on the top. I took it out again. I put extra plumber's putty, and I reinstalled it, but it's still leaking. What can I do about it?
Did you torque it in when you put it back in? How did you? What kind of wrench did you use?
A regular wrench.
Okay, so like if you
socket,
use like
a regular
an,
socket
yeah,
wrench.
But if you use
I took it out with the impact wrench because it was frozen in there. And the thing was, the head broke off when I took it out. And the rod fell in.
That'll happen.
So I put a new one in. I put a little tape around it. And then it was leaking. I took it out again. I put more tape around it.
How many times do you wrap the tape around?
About 3-4 times.
Yeah, I would go more like 5 times. And if you have a paste pipe dope, I'd put a little of that over the tape.
I did that.
Yep.
And it's still leaking.
I would use the impact driver to reinstall it. If it's still leaking, it might not be the threads anymore. How old's the heater?
About 15 years.
Okay. Average life expectancy off of Lake Michigan water is about 10 to 15 years. So you might be at a point now where you just need a new heater.
You mean the threads are shot?
Well, it might not be the threads. There's a weld just outside of those threads. Could be that the weld is broken, right? It might be actually leaking from a different point, not the threads.
So maybe wrap it some more.
Wrap it some more. Give it a try. Use an impact to drive it in. If it's still leaking at 15 years.
You got your money's worth.
Yeah, you got your money's worth. Go ahead and replace it. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck to you, George. He said something fell off and into the water tank.
Yeah, so an anode rod, it's a sacrificial anode rod. It protects the heater. The stuff in the water attacks the rod, not the steel of the tank. When you go to replace it, it's usually worn so thin, it can often, the balance of it can just drop into the heater.
And that's okay?
Yeah, it's not going to hurt it.
Yeah, because you acted like, he's like, it fell in, you're like, meh, whatever.
It happens.
Okay, I didn't know if that was good or bad. Let's talk to Brad. Hi, Brad. Thanks for calling this morning.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks for taking my call. So we bought a building on the north side of the city of Chicago. It's a 3-unit building. And as tenants have moved out, we've been fixing up their apartment and what have you. So we've done 2 bathrooms. The third tenant is moving out now, and they have the old bathtub, the old cast iron bathtub with probably, 1950s vintage tile. It's a lovely mint green. And so we talked to a company about the concept of refinishing the bathtub and refinishing the tile. Is that something that's actually going to last? Do the refinishing products really work, or should we really just be retiling the bathroom?
It depends on how long this investment is. So if you're, it's not going to last as long as new tile, but I've seen, it's essentially painting the tub and painting the tile. I've seen that last 10 years. It depends on how good your tenants are. So if you really want something that's going to last 50 years, just go ahead and replace it. If you're willing to give it a try, it's a very budget friendly option.
Miracle Method, Davey Haas, he's awesome, and he has Miracle Method Surface Refinishing, and you can look into that as well. Bathtub refinishing. Basically, they could refinish your dog if that's what you wanted. They could do anything. So you could look into that too, Miracle Method.
Yeah, we refer them, and it's very effective.
Yeah.
I've had them at my
house. And do you have a number for Miracle? Do you have a number for Miracle Method?
Yes, I do. They're in Villa Park, and I don't have it right now.
I can look it up. I shouldn't.
Yes. You should look it up. Miracle Method. You know what? Hang on 1 second, and Iridian will help you out and give you the number.
Great. Thanks a lot, Wendy.
All right. You're welcome, Brad. I have an 888 number, if that's it. 888-271-7690. I can't see as well as I used to. We should probably take a break, and then we have some more questions. If you'd like to call or text, 312-981-7200. It's House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN. And hello to Byron Andreas, if he is listening. They also have a great mechanics place in Cicero where they can take care of your car. I enjoy that very much. Also, David Haas, Miracle Method, I have a local number to give out. It's 630-326-5378. Miracle Method, if you'd like things refinished, you can contact David Haas, 630-326-5378. All right, we have our panel of experts here. Michael Houston's here, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. John Betke, Betke Plumbing. Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. And Rich Dykstra, he's a Carrier Hall of Famer with Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. We have a bunch of calls now. 312-981-7200. It's Wendy in for Lou. Peggy's been on hold the longest. Hi, Peggy. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. I'm doing well. Hope you are, too. We have a home that was built in 1958. We have lived there for 10 years and have done a lot of updating and remodeling. I'm not sure how old the hood and fan is over our stove, but it's very disgusting. well, first question is it a relatively easy prospect to take it out? And what are the advantages and disadvantages to not replacing it, just leaving no hood, no fan, no light over the stove?
If you don't cook, you're fine. But if you cook, you better have a fan.
They're okay. Usually pretty easy to take out. The hardest part is disconnecting the electric. You have to make sure the electric's off before you do it and disconnect the electric, and then you'll have the conduit and electrical source to plug the new one in.
Okay. All right.
Easiest.
That's what I thought.
I've always found it easiest as a two-man job just because, obviously, when you're taking the weight off of the bolt, you're going to have – it's easiest to have somebody there help you let the hood down.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, my husband is very handy and has done a lot of work around the house. So I'm sure it's something he can manage, and I'll be the wingman.
So. There you go.
Excellent. Wing woman.
Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Peggy. Good luck on your project. All right, John, you said if you cook, you have to have a fan. I cook a lot, and I just have the stupid fan under the microwave that doesn't vent out, and I don't even bother using that. So I don't have a fan in my kitchen. Why do you need one?
Well, it depends how you cook, too. You don't do much frying, do you?
Not that much.
Yeah, because I've been in homes where they just have that one under the microwave, and it's a disaster. The paint on the walls, the ceiling is like
yellow,
covered in grease.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to clean it.
Or just the humidity from boiling water.
Yeah. Yeah, you really should have a fan.
Yeah, we do not. I got to look into that. But now this intrigues me because, Sue, you have a tip about getting rid of grease. Are you a mind reader?
I am not a mind reader, but when you were talking about that, I thought, oh, I've got to tell her this. Whenever I have any greasy junk, greasy water, greasy anything, those little plastic containers that you get in the deli section, you know, when you buy salads and stuff.
Yeah.
I save those, I put the greasy junk in there, freeze it, and then on garbage day, I wrap it in a plastic grocery bag and throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, because I earlier said that I don't do it anymore since I've had issues with our sewer, but like if you have leftover soup that you're finished with or something, I would dump it down the toilet. I didn't do it hot, John. I let it cool off. But
no, you freeze it and throw it in the garbage. You don't have to worry about your sores.
I like it. Thank you for the tip, Sue.
You're very welcome.
I thought she was talking about grease in my kitchen. I honestly do notice it on the cabinets, but then I clean it. And I guess I really don't fry that much.
Yeah, then you might be okay. But yeah, and those hoods that come off the microwaves, there's usually a spot on top where you can duck that out.
Really?
Yeah, there's a boot you can.
There's a boot you can get for the top of it, and then you can extend it to the exterior.
To the roof.
Yep.
And who do you call to do something like that?
Ghostbusters.
electrician?
No, that would be more like an HVAC.
HVAC
a handyman might be able to do it. It's just simple. You know, vent piping.
But you don't want to vent it directly into the attic. You want to vent it
to the
out
exterior.
The roof.
It's right.
Yeah.
It's.
You can do an outside wall too.
Right. Yeah, because it's the back of the microwave is leading to the outside.
So that's
side of the house.
The outside wall.
I could do it myself. I bet.
Exactly.
It's probably what a 4, maybe a 6-inch duct, 4-inch.
4 or 6, depending how big the fan is.
Oh boy. All right, this is going to be a great question. Ellie is on the line. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning to all of you. This is kind of not about any of the whatever pumps or all that. I have a problem with raccoons, and I'm alone, and this raccoon, I want to know how, what I could use to stop this thing from coming near my air conditioner, and then it does its number two, and I've seen it many a time, and I have a patio, a cement patio, and I'm in a townhouse, and there's a fence, you know, that's separating, you know, our patios. And anyway, there's children, young children that play on that deck, their deck. And I've used, I know ammonia will stop them, but I can't do that because of the kids and the smell. Or even the mothballs. I have some mothballs down there, but that don't seem to work either. Is there any product that's harmful that doesn't smell like that, what I could do?
So
I've even went and bought a wire fence thing, and it pushes it down because it's a big raccoon. I've seen it many a time.
Okay, so you know how Glad garbage bags make a scented bag? It's kind of minty or pepperminty or spearminty.
Okay.
There's candy out there that kids buy that they spray in their mouth. It's like a peppermint or a spearmint or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Go to Walgreens or Jewel or somewhere and buy some peppermint spray candy and spray that peppermint or that spearmint or that wintergreen all over as much as you can the area, and their smell is hundreds of times more sensitive than ours.
Try that.
It'll cost you all of $3.
And at least to try it, that's great advice, and you're not really hurting them. But, you know, I looked something up too, Ellie, and it says that raccoons are habitual. They will prefer, they have a poop zone. They keep going back to the same spot.
I wonder if they use 4-ply toilet paper.
I don't know, but you have to break the routine. So place heavy patio furniture or a planter or something there, and texture deterrents, like they have very sensitive paws, so maybe double layer of taped down garbage bags or
aluminum foil,
and try that peppermint spray, because seriously, if that works, I think you should market that, Michael Houston.
Oh, that's good. And there's a very large bush, and it goes underneath there, too. Last night, like I said, and I also have a little balcony, and I'll sit up here, which I'm doing now. But anyway, and I could, and it comes out of that, you know, area, and it goes over there across the way by the garbage.
Mm.
So, I really appreciate this. Thank you for your time, and thank you for all the information, and thank you. I will do that.
You are adorable, Ellie. Good luck to you, okay?
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love her so much. And, Michael, you're right, because it says raccoons return to the exact same spots known as latrine sites by scent. So if you're smelling that or spraying that peppermint or wintergreen all over, it's going to wreck that scent for
just
them.
Just those little candy spray in the mouth.
Like Banaca?
I guess, yeah, kind of. But just something that's
they
all pepperminty or minty. Glad Garbage Bags has invented a scented garbage bag for your can. And because their sense of smell is hundreds of times better than ours, it drives them away. They don't mess with those scented bags.
So they wouldn't like my scented toilet paper either, would they?
Probably not.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We are going to break for news, and then we have more questions coming your way. We have some interesting ones coming up, and more raccoon things. Raccoons want a heated toilet seat. That's what they're thinking. I don't think so. Banaca Is the peppermint candy being talked about the Banaca? That hasn't been, I haven't thought of that stuff in years. It was a staple in my purse back in the 80s. I do remember it. The Banaca Blast, remember? I don't know that they make that, but there is like
candy. No, there's
candy.
Kids spray candy. They spray in their mouth. It little looks like a Banaca Blast container, if
and
you will.
And it's candy or like mouthwash?
It's like
mouthwash.
Candy. It's like sugar. It's like.
What happened to chocolate?
For $10, you can get a big bottle of peppermint oil, and it's especially for rodents and
oh,
things
that.
Like
peppermint
that.
Peppermint oil. There you go.
Yeah,
you know.
And it lowers hardware. So.
Look at that. All right. We're solving problems one step at a time, and news is up right now here on 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lou Manfredini this week, 312-981-7200. Michael Houston's here, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. John Betke, Betke Plumbing. Jason Beck from Erdman Outdoor Living. And Rich Dykstra, Carrier Hall of Famer. A lot of texts this morning. We were talking to Ellie, who had a little problem with a raccoon, relieving itself in one area of her yard. Michael Houston suggested peppermint spray. 708 says peppermint essential oil, stronger and works better than candy spray. Someone said tell her to use coyote urine pellets.
I thought about that. But when she mentioned that there's children playing nearby, I don't know that I'd sprinkle that around.
Yeah, I don't think so. And then 847 said chopped up bars of Irish Spring soap works like a charm. The raccoons can't stand the smell. I use this all the time. Again, these are ways to at least try them.
We used to do that for our hostas because we had deer eating on our hostas, and we used to chop up the Irish Spring soap. So I know that works for deer.
Really?
So probably would be the same for raccoons.
Antique car buffs put, you know, a bar of that type of soap or lava in their vehicles over the winter when they park them so to keep the mice out.
Interesting.
How do they get the coyote urine?
In the form of a pellet?
Use your imagination.
Freeze dry, I don't know.
Did you ever have lava soap in your mouth because you said a swear word?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that was. It's like sandpaper.
Mm-hmm.
But then I called my neighbor, Bobby Keith, I called him a J-off, and my mom put Liquid Joy in my mouth.
Oh.
And that got in every nook and cranny. And it didn't work, Mom, because I still swear all the time. All right. Vivian has called us, 312-981-7200. Hi, Vivian.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to make a comment. I have used a product that I picked up at the hardware store in the section where all the pest control products are. And it is a peppermint product. It's probably cheaper than going to Walgreens and trying to buy those little mouth peppermint things. It is cheaper. It is primarily peppermint extract. It's used for mice. And I would imagine, since it is that peppermint product, that it would be used for raccoons as well. I'm going to try it, actually, for rabbits this year. We have rabbits everywhere. And my husband bought little toy slingshots.
A rifle works better.
He wanted to send them into the neighbor's yard, you know, just in the yard to shoot the rabbits. But anyway, I'm going to try the peppermint spray, but I do know that, like I said, I think it's probably cheaper as, you know, the extract than those products at Walgreens.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the tip, Vivian. Yeah. Good luck.
You're welcome. Bye. Have a good day.
You as well. And, speaking of little pests, Becky, what do you have a problem with?
Wendy, first of all, I have to tell you that this may sound weird because I'm just listening to you on the radio, but we're soul sisters. Everything you say is my life experience. I went to Lyons Township.
Ah, I went to Riverside Brookfield, so close enough.
My mom, I said to my mom one day, bull mom, and I was in the bathroom with soap in my mouth faster before I even knew what was happening.
And you still swear, don't you, Becky?
I swear like a sailor.
Yep, me too.
I swear like a sailor.
Don't do it on the radio, okay? Don't get me in trouble. All right.
I won't. So my question is, do we need to spend $14,000 to replace insulation in our attic because we have a mice infestation in our house?
and we do have health problems. We have, like, I have a chronic cough and asthma that's gotten worse over time. We had a company come in, we'll call them Acme Pest Removal. They did an inspection, and they said, they asked us, hey, are you guys having respiratory issues? Yes, we are. The insulation, they've been baiting the house and doing mice mitigation for us, but they said that there's droppings and urine, and that gets into the heating system and spreads that throughout the house. And so now they're recommending that we do this mitigation only in the attic, where they remove the insulation and replace it. And I'm wondering if that's legitimate.
Becky, I would have to say yes.
Absolutely.
Can't you spray something on it, like bleach or something?
It's got to come out. It's got to come out, and new go back in.
But we got to fix the ability for the mice to get back in, because you don't want to make an investment like that and have them come back in. So I'd address that.
Right. But Becky, before you just spend $14,000 on insulation, you know, get two or three estimates.
Absolutely.
That's
too much.
Don't just go with one guy. That's, like Rich just said, it's a little much. Get a couple, three estimates from good, long, you know, tenured, well-established local companies.
Now, this pest control company, are they the ones that are going to be replacing the insulation?
Yeah, they're saying that we need to get a specially treated insulation that they can replace it with. And they're all. My question is also, well, doing it only in the attic, I mean, I know that it can become a huge project, but do we need to also get into the walls? Our house was built in 1993, and I'm just wondering if we need to kind of do a whole project here.
You might as well move out and start from scratch if you get into the walls.
That's Hochberg, get
exactly.
a new house.
Exactly.
All right.
You guys come on down to Central Illinois. We'll take care of it.
So, Becky, I used Rose Pest Solutions. I called them because we had mice, like, to the point where we were setting off, like, we had like 10 or 13 traps, and we caught them, and I'm like, I can't live with this anymore. They went around and they plugged up holes with steel wool. They looked around. We do have poison in the house, and I know it's not ideal, but I can't live with mice in my house. And we get a quarterly service, and we have not seen them again. And I'm pretty sure they wouldn't do insulation. They just handle the pests. So I think that would be your first step, is to make sure the mice problem is solved. And then shouldn't Becky be calling someone else about replacing the insulation instead of doing like an
insulation contract?
Yeah, right. Like,
suggested. Get 2-3 estimates on that.
Don't let those pest people do the insulation.
Yeah, it's you're getting a cut of it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it just doesn't. And then you can get estimates with, you know, an insulation. But with this hantavirus around, it's really scary.
Yeah.
And if it's really saturated and has been like that for a while, that would be very dangerous to your breathing, too.
That's what we were thinking. And I got really sick in March, and it hasn't. It's got to be from this. So
yeah.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Love this. And Wendy, I love to hear you on WTN.
Thank you, Becky, soul sister.
Okay, we'll see you later.
All right. Yeah, I thought that was a weird situation where they, because I know like Rose Pest Solutions would not change my attic insulation for me.
But they would recommend it
exactly.
If they totally thought it was
kind
needed.
Of a conflict. Like the companies that inspect and find mold, they're not allowed by law to do mold remediation. You need a distinct separation.
So. That's true. Mm-hmm. So, it just seems weird that it's like your one-stop shop, pest control and attic insulation.
And just getting rid of the mice that are there isn't enough. They need to find the source.
Right.
How are they getting in?
Yeah.
Yes. 312-981-7200. Let's get Jason into the conversation here. I have a text for you from Anna. I have a question about a pergola. Mm-hmm. I've been Googling different pergolas and found one with slats on top that open and close. How well do motorized pergolas hold up to Midwest weather, especially snow and high winds?
That's a bunch of great questions. So the louvered pergolas with the motorized louvers have That's a more recent development in the marketplace.
Yeah, I didn't even know they existed.
Oh, yeah. It's such a cool product, and it's what we specialize in. The product we offer is called Structure, and that's spelled with an X. So 98% of the installs that we do have motorized louvers on top. And the point is you can articulate the louvers to either follow the sun or counteract the sun, depending on if you want warmth or if you want shade, whatever you're looking for. It's basically... the convenience of it is you're basically taking your living room and putting it outside. So you have all the features. You can have the dry. You can have heaters installed. You can have lighting features and elements, things like that. But you can enjoy your outdoor space as well. So it's really the best of both worlds. The louvered pergolas, the electric pergolas, they've been around for probably 15 years in total and really come up in popularity the last few years. Since COVID, everybody wants to remodel and expand the functionality of their existing space versus what we used to do, which is just buy a new house every 3 to 5 years. So structured pergola is a nice way to expand the usage of your existing space, especially in our climate where we have such, challenging winters, fall, even this year, spring, never had a spring.
Yeah. They hold up well?
Oh, yeah, extremely well. The product that we offer, the Structure product, comes with a 15-year manufacturer's warranty. And then as the manufacturer's installing partner, we have a 5-year workmanship warranty that goes on top as well. So this is a product that the majority of your outdoor living, backyard items that you buy for your home, the swing set, the shed, all of those items, the pergolas from a Costco or Sam's Club or something like that, those are considered more like lawn ornaments. Whereas this is something where we attach it to the earth. It's attached to the ground with concrete piers, just like your deck. It does have the 15-year warranty, and the warranty passes on to the next homeowner. So it becomes an asset, like a three-season room. But again, one of the advantages of the pergola is it doesn't change your homeowner's tax, your property tax for your parcel. So a lot of advantages.
Even though the louvers are closed at some point?
As far as, yes, yes.
The taxes? So,
yeah, the walls are
there's no toilet in there.
No walls. And, even in our climate, there's a lot of options and accessories that we can put on there to really basically make it into a three-season room, but still avoiding paying additional property tax. We've got screens, vinyl shades, all sorts of different applications.
And how do people reach out to you?
So you can contact us directly at our website at erdmanoutdoorliving.com or call into the office. We have sales professionals that come out, people like myself, meet with you in your home, do sort of a question and answer session. What are you looking to get out of your outdoor space? What are you not getting now? We get a lot of complaints about shade, obviously being a major factor. People buy a home and you focus on the interior when you buy it. You look and you do your upgrades, and then you get to a point where you have to look and where else can we maximize the usage of this property. So the outdoor space comes into play.
And Erdmann, E-R-D-M-A-N-N.
Correct. Outdoorliving.com.
Okay. So that's Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdmann Outdoor Living. Rich Dykstra's here, Dornbos Heating and Air Conditioning, John Betke, Betke Plumbing, and Michael Houston, sales manager at Lind Home Roofing. Quick break, and then back with your calls, 312-981-7200. It's House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. What a great Saturday. It's Wendy Snyder in for Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. As soon as I get off the air, I'm going to hurry over to LaGrange, Illinois for their 80th annual pet parade that is going on today. Joining us on our panel of experts today, Rich Dykstra, Carrier Hall of Famer, Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdmann Outdoor Living. We have John Betke here, Betke Plumbing, a partner and contractor with Plumbers 911, and Michael Houston, sales manager at Lind Home Roofing. And we have some questions from our listeners at 312-981-7200 on the MegaPros phone line. One mega call does it all. And this is Janine. Hi, Janine.
Hey, Wendy, it's so cool to listen to you and talk to you.
Thank you.
I love when you're on the radio.
Oh, thanks.
But hey, I got a couple questions. My son and his wife just bought a house, and the basement is finished, but there's a crawl. So he was asking us, did we think he could dig out that crawl and make it an unfinished part of the basement because he wants a workshop? Is that possible?
Big bucks.
Really? But it is possible.
Yeah, okay. It's definitely possible.
Yeah.
But it's not, a lot of money. It's not inexpensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let him know that.
Yeah.
And then the other question is, for as big as a house that they bought, they only have one sink in the master bathroom. So, but they do have the long countertop. So is it possible to add another sink with the plumbing?
Of course. Of course, yeah. You just got to open the wall and redo a little bit of the piping and buy new cabinets and a countertop. But, yeah, absolutely.
Is that an expensive the thing to do?
Well, I mean, it's probably not that bad on the plumbing part of it. It you know, and that where it could get expensive is the products that you buy. What kind of top are you going to get? The new faucets you get, the cabinets. You know, that's where you're probably going to spend the bulk of the money.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let them know good news and bad news.
Yeah.
They'll be happy with two sinks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can't put a price on two sinks.
Definitely.
Well,
you
good.
Got it. All right. Thank you, guys.
Congrats on their new place, and thanks for calling, Janine.
You got it. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Later. And Nick. Is this Nick? Hi, Nick.
Yes, it is. How are you today?
Great. Did you have a question?
Yesterday, I was doing the laundry. I finished the load. Went to put another load in, and there was a code on my on the screen there. I don't know what the code was, and I can't get any water to pump into the washing machine now. I went and shut it, unpowered it for 5 minutes, went back in, nothing. And I was looking through all the information there. There's like 40 different codes they have, and I don't know which one it would be.
How old is the machine?
Yeah, well, that's it. It's 22 years.
Time for a new one.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Yes, it is, because it's a circuit board. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
They've had circuit boards and washing machines for 22 years already.
Yeah, they have. But I would check some of the basics. Did you pull the water off the back of the unit and off of where they connected to the valves to check to make sure the screens aren't clogged? I mean, there's so many possibilities.
Yeah. Some super simple.
Yeah.
Some super simple. Others can be complicated, like the board. And like Rich said, if it's the board.
If it's a board,
yeah. Yeah, get a new one.
So does he?
Yeah, I was looking at the prices for the new one. They're like $500 for one.
More than that, probably.
It's cheaper than a board.
Yeah, a board.
Oh my lord.
Okay, so where does Nick go to find like some things he could check? Does he have a repairman come and look at it?
YouTube.
Yeah, see,
your favorite.
I do love YouTube.
Been there.
You've been there, and you already Googled the code, and it's not been helping you at all.
The code is not there anymore. It disappeared from the screen. But I went into the manual. It's got like 40 different codes you have to look up. And all of them say, unplug it for 5 minutes and plug it back in. See what happens then.
Check the screens on the hose.
Yeah.
That they're not plugged with debris. And the back of the washer, usually where the hose ties in, unscrew that, and you'll see a real fine mesh screen on the cold and the hot inlets into the machine. And make sure those are clean.
Turn the water off first.
Yeah.
Those are fairly new hoses, because when we moved in, we put the old hoses on. They were in storage, and they popped for 7 hours. They ran all day. Weren't there.
There you go.
It was fun.
Well, good luck, Nick. Right. I hope you solve it.
Remember, Irish Spring works great for my mice in the basement.
It does.
Somebody texted in and said they put Irish Spring out there in their shed and the mice ate it. So I don't know. It just depends.
I have pieces of it in the garage, in the basement, all over, around the house.
Manly, yes, but mice like it too. All right. Thank you for calling, Nick. Good luck to you. We need to take a break, do some news, and then we'll be back with our final hour of House Smarts Radio. Feel free to call us 312-981-7200. And news up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. He is off this week, very rarely takes a day off. So he will be back next week, and I think they're live somewhere. So keep listening. And John Betke is here from Betke Plumbing. By the way, John, how do people reach Betke Plumbing?
You can go to our website at www.betkeplumbing.com.
You probably should spell Betke.
Well, okay, so that's B-A-E-T-H-K-E-P-L-U-M-B-I-N-G. Or you can call us at 773-276-5430.
Rich Dykstra's here, Carrier Hall of Famer, Dornbos Heating and Air Conditioning. Do people need to reach you? Do you give your cell phone out?
Absolutely. Oh, no, no, no. They call Dornbos Direct. It's 708-831-2281 or dornbos.com/WGN. That's DORNBOS.
Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. How do people reach you, Jason?
They can reach us at the website at erdmanoutdoorliving.com, and that's E-R-D-M-A-N-N, outdoorliving.com. Or you can contact us directly at 224-342-3500.
Didn't forget you, Michael Houston.
I was waiting.
I know, not patiently. Sales manager at Lindholm Roofing, how do people reach out to you?
Our phone number is 773-283-7675, or on the internet at info@lindholmroofing.com.
And this hour of House Smarts Radio is brought to you by Smart Strip Paint and Graffiti Movers. And let's move on to these phone calls because we've had people on hold for about a half an hour here. This is Helen. Hi, Helen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Lately, I've been having problems with my outlets in the house, and I find it very hard to plug some of my cords in. And just recently, I took a cord out and I blew a fuse. So I was just wondering what I could. I called an electrician. He was not very reliable. It seemed like he didn't even want to look into it. And he charged me $100. And I'm just looking for a good electrician, or if you know what I could do with these plugged up outlets.
It's hard to plug up an outlet unless...
Well, they're plugged up with something. I can't put a cord in. I have to fight to put my hair dryer cord in.
Did it shift, maybe?
No, there's four outlets in that are plugged up in here, and this house is only 13 years old.
Look up the electrician's website. It's local. It's local 134 is the electrician's union, and they'll set you up with an electrician close to you. You can probably look it up online.
Mr. Beebe, they have qualified? Yeah.
Yes,
they do.
The phone number?
BBB.org, you can go to.
No, I don't go to the internet.
Okay, I'll get you a phone number for the Better Business Bureau. But wait, I have a question, Helen. So you had an electrician come out and they charged you $100 and they didn't do anything?
Yes, and I told him about it, and he's plugging in a couple cords, and he's fighting with the two. And it just seems like he just doesn't feel up to looking into it. And I thought to myself, what am I about? This was a qualified electrician from a company. And
I would call them back and say, you know.
Send somebody else.
Yeah, send somebody else. You paid $100, and yeah,
right.
They didn't
make it. Trip to the house, he charged me $100.
And didn't do anything or tell you what was wrong.
Yeah, talk to a manager. Yeah. Get somebody else out. You got a guy in a bad day or a bad guy in a good day. He just...
Well, he said he was just coming home and he was really tired. And
I don't care, Helen.
It, yeah. It doesn't take a lot of effort.
Listen, Helen.
Recently, I pulled out a cord and it blew a fuse. So that's another thing, too.
All right, listen, so, promise me you will call that company back and explain what happened. And if that doesn't work, Rich Dykstra has a phone number for you, okay? Do you have a pen and paper?
Yes, I do.
Okay, this is the IBEW Technical Institute. This is where they train all the new electricians. Their number is 708-389-1340. They're closed.
Okay.
Yeah, they're closed today. Give them a call. They open up at 8:30 on Monday morning.
Well, I'd like to get somebody out today to look into this. Can't you give me the admission, Mr. Beebe, phone number?
The problem today, you're going to be paying overtime rates.
Yeah, if you do it on a weekend, you have to do like Monday through Friday.
Yeah, just wait until Monday and don't plug anything into that outlet. Just leave it alone, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Come on, shouldn't she call back that company and at least make a, you know, you've got to say something.
Yeah, the company that does all kind of stuff, they fix your water heater and they fix your air conditioner. It's one of these where they got multi-tasks.
Four seasons?
Well, that sounds like it.
Well, you need to call them back and say, how long ago did this guy come over?
About a month ago, and I just kind of let it go. And
call the IBEW.
Well, I know, but she needs to make good. They need to make good on this service call because. What do you mean they won't?
They'll take her for more money.
But they didn't tell her what was wrong.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're going to come back in again and say, "Oh, now we got to do this, and oh, we got to do that."
All right. Well,
you don't know who to trust, but I understand Mrs. B. Shebe is supposed to be. Very well qualified company.
The BBB here. This is the Better Business Bureau in Chicago. I'll give you this number too. BBB. You ready?
Okay.
312-832-832. No. 312. Let's start from the beginning. 312. 832.
Yeah. 832, that's what I said before.
0500. 0500.
Okay, I will call them the Monday then, huh?
Yes, this is the Better Business Bureau, and they can help you find someone in your area that they recommend. And please give a complaint about the company that treated you terribly. Tell the BBB about that. Say, this company charged me, didn't help me, and you need to report them. And there needs to be a complaint filed against them.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck to you, Helen. That gets me really mad, you know?
It's seniors that they take advantage of.
Yeah.
And it seems to be more prevalent. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse, I know. I think.
Oh, that gets me so mad. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with your phone calls at 312-981-7200. It is House Smarts Radio with me, Wendy Snyder, this week on 720 WGN. Where have I heard Lindholm Roofing before? Michael Houston is here, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. John Betke of Betke Plumbing. Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. And Carrier Hall of Famer Rich Dykstra. I'm Wendy Snyder, sitting in for Lou Manfredini. He will be back next week. But we have some callers to get through very quickly here. 312-981-7200. And Steve has called us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I just had a simple question regarding the company you used for the mice problem with the steel woolen and everything.
That is Rose Pest Solutions, and I am getting you a number.
Janelle Iacino.
Janelle the bug girl is nutty, and I love her so much. And I have a great guy, Gary, who comes out quarterly, and I really have not seen any mice, although I'm getting ants now, but all you
do...
It's
that time of year.
It is that time of year, and there's nothing you can do. But rosepestcontrol.com.
Ask Janelle about her...
Thank you very much. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Ask Janelle about her Madagascar hissing cockroach pets.
Okay.
Yeah, Janelle Iacino is their marketing director, and she's the bug girl, and she's a really sweet weirdo, and we all love her so much. So, yeah. Steve, good luck to you, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. And then Lois has called us. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning.
What do you have going on?
Put a new furnace in, and it's a two-stage furnace, which I had had before. And the furnace was put in 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, but it's three and a half. But it makes a terrible noise, like thunder, but it doesn't happen all the time. So when I've called the people that put it in, and they don't want to come out and stand and wait for it to happen. And I just can't figure out what they're telling me. It's just the air ducts.
Does it sound like a big boom?
It's It's like thunder.
Right. Okay. They're correct. That is the ductwork. It's like an oil canning. It's going in and out. When the blower comes on, the ductwork will puff out. And when it shuts down, it contracts again. So you hear a boom.
The others never did that. And it isn't when it just comes on. It's while it's running.
Right. See, the blower on the new ones are a lot higher. And that's where you have a professional come out. They can set the blower speeds to where they should be. And two, what they'll do sometimes is they'll run a steel cleat on the return duct to stop that oil canning effect where it goes in and out. That should take care of it.
So does she call back? What does she tell them to?
Well, she can give Dornbos a call, certainly, and we'll come out and take care of it. But they're a professional company. They have specials on clean and check right now. And they can take a look at that when they service your air conditioner.
Okay. Well, because it does happen either with air conditioning or the heat.
Right.
And
it's very common. It's a very common occurrence.
I Googled it one time, and the Google said that if there's a lot of it, it could be more than just that. But if it's just that, I'll just have to put up with it.
Well, if you want, let me give you my number. And give a call.
Well,
we can have a tech come out.
I'm in Rockford, so that's
Rockford.
Okay. Yeah, we don't service Rockford, correct?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Well, good luck to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. And I think we have time for one more before the break. And Amanda is on the line. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning. You had a question?
Yeah. So I've been going around the house doing spring cleaning, was outside with the kids, see all these cottonwoods flying all around, and I'm thinking, should I clean my air conditioner? Is that something I can do myself, or how often am I supposed to do that?
Okay. I wouldn't recommend it that you do it yourself. Okay. A lot of people say, I'll just get my garden hose and hose it down and get all the fuzzies off. There's a lot more to it than just hosing it off. You want somebody to come in and make sure all your electrical connections are tight. They want to check the refrigerant charge and make sure that everything is set properly, because you can't afford not to keep your air conditioner clean with the electrical rates that are currently in effect. Where are you located?
Overland Park.
Okay. Dornbos, we definitely service that area. That's right in our sweet spot. I'd recommend having someone come out. They're a union contractor. All their technicians have been trained. They go through an apprenticeship for 4 years before they hit the road. So I'd definitely have them come out, service your air conditioner, and they'll make sure that everything runs smooth for the summer. They have a special current special now where you can get $50 off a tune-up. So I'd definitely give them a call. If you have a pen and pencil handy, I can give you their phone number.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, it's 708-831-2281. Or you can go online, dornbos.com/WGN. And it's spelled DORNBOS.com.
And Amanda, I really hate doing maintenance work, but I do get my AC and heater checked before the seasons, just to make sure everything's running properly. That's a good thing to maintain.
And how often do you do it?
I do a furnace check before the winter, before I use my heat, although it's usually at the end of winter because I forget. But once a year, and then I do it before I use my AC for the summer. So it's
good
just
job,
to
honey.
Make sure everything's running, because, you know, your furnace can be giving off carbon monoxide.
Probably not, but
it could.
It could.
And, you know, I've seen some neighbors cleaning their own AC unit, and they do take the hose to it. But you really should take everything apart, like the outer frame, and they check the coolant. They check everything to make sure it's running great. So
it's high voltage in that unit, too. So you don't want water in that, kind of just really don't go together.
Yeah. A wire brush might work.
I try myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, don't try it yourself.
Good luck to you, Amanda. I hope your AC run cool all summer long.
And give us a call.
I I sure hope so. All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. It's House Smarts Radio. We're going to do some news, and then we're going to get back to your calls. I believe we're going to do Just Text Me coming up next. Here's the number to call, 312-981-7200. You can also use that number to text us. We are going to very quickly roll through three texts when we come back after the news, and you guys better be very quick on your feet here and answer questions. It's got to go boom, boom, boom. That's how it goes.
Done.
All right, cool. So here with me today, Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing, John Betke from Betke Plumbing, partner and contractor with Plumbers 911. We have Jason Beck, his first appearance. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, and Carrier Hall of Famer and House Smarts Radio Hall of Famer, Rich Dykstra, with us today. Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning, and we'll do our texts. Just text me, 312-981-7200, after the news. All right, we don't want you to find another station. We want you to stay here on WGN Radio. It's Wendy Snyder in for Lou Manfredini at House Smarts Radio. And we've got Michael Houston here from Lindholm Roofing, John Betke from Betke Plumbing, Jason Beck from Erdman Outdoor Living, and Rich Dykstra, Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. And this is where we do the, well, Lou does the Just Text Me segment. And we're going to read three in a row really quickly. And you guys have to help me with this, all right? 847 says, you can totally hose off the condenser coils on your AC yourself. You could, but...
if you don't do it right, you're just adding to it. You're driving the dirt into the coil. It should be done from the inside out to take the dirt out of the system.
Which involves taking the whole top of the condenser apart, so it's not a homeowner project. That's something that definitely should be done by a professional.
And just to check everything, you know?
There's so many more things to check.
Yeah.
You need somebody out.
Okay. What product should I use to clean a vinyl sheet floor in my kitchen? This from 847. I would say Mr. Floor Products.
Yeah. Igor
Marak. I am totally into this Mr. Floor Products stuff because I finally ordered it along with the mop that you can get with it with the fiber. Man, I pulled a butt muscle. I wasn't scrubbing hard.
It's the wrong toilet paper.
I cleaned every part of my wooden floors because I was loving it. You spray it on, you clean it off. So go to MrFloor.com. Totally love that stuff. And there was another question that I've just lost. Somebody wanted to know about outdoor stuff.
The pergola.
Yes, but I can't. What is the company again that has the mechanical pergola?
So we are Erdman Outdoor Living. We're based in Arlington Heights. We service all of basically northern Illinois up to the Wisconsin border, some southern Wisconsin. And we're available to have somebody come to your home, evaluate your needs, and do a full demonstration and proposal, and talk about whatever you need to make your outdoor living area as nice as possible.
That was Caroline who texted in that at 630. And how do they find you?
They can find us at erdmanoutdoorliving.com. That's E-R-D-M-A-N-N, outdoorliving.com. Or reach us directly at 224-342-3500.
I guess Lou always says to rinse the AC with the hose, too. You can certainly do that, but I think it's important to have someone come out once a year to check things.
If you know what? You could do it probably mid-season if the after you've had it professionally serviced.
Just have someone
just keep it clean.
The cottonwood net, just hose it down.
Yeah, because we have a lot of cottonwood in our area too, but I don't feel like doing it, so just do it once
it could
a year.
Be done.
Yep.
Does anybody know? And now that's the Just Text Me segment. We did three. We're three for three. We answered them. But I do have a fourth one here. 847 wants to know the best combination to get streak-free windows. It sounds simple, but it isn't. And, Michael, you said something off the air which I had heard of.
newspaper and vinegar.
Yeah.
I've heard of it, too. I haven't used it. But then, Jason, you mentioned the cheap Windex at Walmart works.
Yeah, the off-brand Windex or the Walmart brand Windex works drastically better in my experience.
Really?
In my opinion, yeah, it works drastically better. But the newspaper and vinegar, I had heard, and I've actually used wadded newspaper to clean. It's better than paper towel. It's a lot more streak-free. And everybody has it laying around.
I wonder what the significance of, I mean, how that...
You still
that,
have newspapers laying around?
Yeah.
You probably use 4-ply toilet paper.
If you have any left.
All right. This started, we started the show today because I was talking about, I was unaware of the fact that toilet paper could mess up your sewer system. I had no idea. And one of the PermaSeal plumbers had said something to me. And I'm like, really, you're going to tell me to change my toilet paper? That's what the issue is? Well, it was part of it, and there were tree roots, and there I just happened to look at the northern toilet tissue that my husband picked up, and it was 4-ply. I didn't even know there was such a thing as 4-ply. That's why they keep saying this to me throughout the entire show. And now I use, and I know Lou recommends Scott toilet paper, which is 1-ply. Sorry, it's hard to go from 4-ply to 1-ply. So I went to 2-ply Angel Soft, and it says safe for septic systems. So John Betke of Betke Plumbing, that would be a good choice?
That's a good recommendation. When it says safe for septic, it's going to break down very easily. So you said that it causes a problem in the sewer? No, it exasperates a problem.
Oh, okay.
So if you've got roots or like you have a check valve in your sewer,
yes,
that paper is going to get hung up. So what you need is a paper that'll break down with the next flush. So septic tank safe is the best.
And I Googled this as well because I Google everything. And it said that you're supposed to wet a piece of toilet paper and put it like on your counter or whatever and see if it kind of starts disintegrating.
Dissolve.
It dissolves in like, I don't know, a minute or something. And we did it. The Angel Soft did start breaking down.
That's
the 4-ply Northern did not.
No.
But boy, is it soft.
It's like, the 4-ply is like the brawny quicker picker upper. It does not break down.
It doesn't. And I mean, we didn't buy it because it was 4-ply. We just bought it because I think Northern has like a 3-ply as well. Mm-hmm. But like they have, it's so ridiculous. And can I just tell you, bears don't use toilet paper. I am so sick of seeing that commercial. That's Charmin, I guess. Bears don't use it. And Angels,
what do they do in the woods?
Shish. They shush.
A little Klingons.
all right, guys, clean it up here. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the scented toilet paper of Angel Soft. They have lavender and fresh linen, and it smells really good. The purple cleaner Sparkle works great for streak-free windows, too. Thank you, George, from 847. That's what Bob Ferguson uses in the studio. I saw it here in the morning when he was...
Sparkle?
Yeah, the purple stuff. I didn't know they still made that, and I thought that was made here in Chicago, but I could be wrong. Good morning. I heard Dornboss is offering $50 off an AC inspection, but what is the approximate cost of the whole thing? 708 wants to know.
There's three. They have several different choices that you can do on the clean and checks. Best to call in and they'll explain the whole, everything they have. And it's 708-831-2281.
Sparkle glass cleaner works better than Windex. Another person saying Sparkle is the way to go. Or the generic Windex is what you think, Jason, huh?
Yeah, that's all my
right.
choice.
And Lou's recipe for streak-free windows, a couple drops of Dawn dish liquid in a gallon of water. Well, Dawn degreases, so that would be good. Isn't it weird how, like, Dawn is good for everything?
Yeah.
It really turns out to be a good thing. And somebody says Zep is the best, especially on mirrors. So.
Okay, all these are different things that our listeners can try.
Mm-hmm.
And then come up with their own decision.
That's what you got to do. Growing up, my mom always used newspaper and vinegar on our windows, and they were perfectly clean and streak-free. It has to be the newsprint, not the color ads. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the black and white. not the shiny ads or the right. comics. All right, good to know. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Lifting Studios, keeping patios, sidewalks, and pool decks safe this summer. We're going to take a quick break and wrap up with your phone calls. There's still some time to get in here. 312-981-7200. All right, it's Wendy Snyder here, and I'm sitting in for Lou Manfredini, and Rich Dykstra is telling us jokes off the air. Do you have two shows at Zany's this weekend or what?
Just one.
Oh.
Just
one. Rich Dykstra is the Carrier Hall of Famer. He's with Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning. Jason Beck is here, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living. John Betke from Betke Plumbing and Michael Houston, sales manager at Lindholm Roofing. And we have another, we're going to talk window cleaning, I guess. Hey, Erlene, what's going on with you today?
Well, we're going to be heading out to watch our granddaughter's softball game in Hammond, Indiana, in a few minutes here. But I was listening to your suggestions for streak-free window cleaning.
Uh-huh.
And I use what's called e-cloth. And there's no need for window cleaners, just one wet towel to wipe the window down and then dry it with the e-cloth, and you will not have a streak, and it'll look like there's no glass in the window at all.
Really?
Is that a microfiber?
Yes. Yeah, and I believe it's infused with silver, so... it's amazing. I have referred so many people to it, and they can't believe the result.
E-cloth.
Yes. E-cloth.com. You can order them online.
It's e-cloth.
Correct.
All right.
And they have different cloths for different purposes, but there's one specifically for window cleaning.
Are you an e-cloth influencer? Because you should
No.
Be. You should.
I wish
be.
I was.
Yeah. But you use it on all your glass, your windows, your mirrors, things like that?
Everything. Car windows, it's amazing.
Yeah, the car windows, they seem to get so dirty. I don't even smoke anymore. I used to, and that was terrible. But now they just get so fogged up on the inside sometimes. So e-cloth.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, Erlene, thank you for sharing, and good luck to your granddaughter's team.
Thank you.
Hope she
has a great have a great Saturday. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And someone I just kind of Googled because it's fun to do. What is better, Sparkle or Windex? And Michael, you and I were kind of talking about this off the air. It just depends. Whether Sparkle or Windex is better depends heavily on your cleaning priorities. Sparkle is highly praised for being ammonia-free, leaving fewer streaks, while Windex is the go-to for easily cutting through heavy grease and grime on standard window glass. So that makes sense.
And then a lot of it has to do with whatever you're using to wipe it or dry it off.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And I guess everybody in the world loves e-cloths. Is this Eileen? Hi, Eileen.
Oh, hi. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Do you like the e-cloth too?
Oh, my gosh. I bought them in a little gift shop in like the truck stop in Iowa once, and I will never go back. You do not need... I mean, no offense to Windex and all those other great products, but they're amazing. I mean, for years, I tried everything, glass plus, blah, 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 and I use these, and they're amazing.
All right. Well,
they're not microfiber. They're not microfiber. I don't know what they are, but.
Amazing.
But they work. Magic fiber.
You know.
Yes, they work. You got to try them.
I'm going to now, and it's. E-cloth,
E-cloth.
Yes.
Yes. You know what? Norwex is almost the same. They got a very similar product. But the E-cloth, you get two cloths, this little weave, and then another little cloth to wipe it off. And my bathroom mirrors, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm amazed every time I use them. And I give them as gifts, and I don't know if people use them. I'm always like, I hope they're using that. And I'm hearing them raving about it, but, so...
All right. Well, it looks like we have another e-cloth call, so I have to let you go, Eileen. But thank you for sharing the love.
All right.
All right. And let's say hi to Mike really quickly. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. So you're an e-cloth fanatic as well?
That thing is amazing. I use it on. I've got an old school kitchen with a big, huge mirror in front of it, and it always splashes the hard water on it. And this stuff, this e-cloth, is amazing.
All right,
I got it at my local Ace Hardware store.
I swear to God, I feel like you guys are
teaching us.
But I think you're
never
like,
heard of it.
Yeah, I never heard of it before in my life. I feel like this is a radio bit, and everybody's going to call and tell you guys to use e-cloth. But I'm looking at
they
it.
Make one.
Go ahead.
They make one for glass. They make one for electronics. So use it on your TV and your tablets and your phones and stuff. It's fantastic.
Mike, you know what
else? I've had the same one for over a year, so it's not like I'm not. It's totally self-sustaining.
You know what else they have, Mike?
What's that?
A windshield haze eraser. The e-cloth
windshield.
I know, this is crazy.
We're going to have to go get that.
I know. All right, Mike, thank you for the tip. Appreciate it.
No problem. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. The e-cloth windshield haze eraser is a driver's essential. The thick two-sided pad quickly soaks up distracting windshield moisture and then doubles as a cleaning pad that keeps glass and mirrors gleaming. I have never heard of this. Look at all of us. Who's going to try it?
Are you
Raise
getting
your
paid
hand.
For that, Reed?
No. Why? Was it good?
It was.
All right. Well, let's say hello to today's last call. Lou's last call is sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you'll need to make. And Victoria, you are Lou's last call for today.
Hello, Wendy. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. I have a suggestion. This is something I've used on my windows and glass for years, and it's nothing that I have to buy that I don't have in my house. You'll need a bucket, a gallon of lukewarm water, a small handful of cornstarch, the cornstarch that you cook with,
yes,
and an old cotton, not polyester, towel. And you throw that cornstarch into the water, stir it up with your fingers, take a small rag, and wipe down the glass that you're going to clean, whether it's a window, a mirror. And then you take this cotton towel that is not polyester, it's cotton, absorbent, and you dry the window, and the glass looks like it disappeared. You use it inside, you can use it outside. And as I said, it's nothing extra that you have to buy that you don't have in your house, most probably.
All right. I do have cornstarch, and I have water, and I have a cotton towel. So I will try
this. There you go.
Well, thank you.
You won't believe it.
I'm going to try it, Victoria. Thank you so much, and thank you for being Lou's last call. Thank you for hanging out with me, guys. I got to hurry home and order an e-cloth. Rich Dykstra, Carrier Hall of Famer, Dorn Boss Heating and Air Conditioning, how do people reach you?
Phone is 708-831-2281, or you can get us online at dornboss.com/WGN, and it's spelled DORNBOS.
Jason Beck, remodeling consultant at Erdman Outdoor Living, how do people reach you?
Well, if anybody wants to learn more about TimberTech decking, structure pergolas, or any custom outdoor living spaces and our variety of shade options, just check out our website, erdmanoutdoorliving.com. That's E-R-D-M-A-N-N, outdoorliving.com. Or you can call it 224-342-3500.
John Betke of Betke Plumbing, also a part of Plumbers 911. How do people reach you?
BetkePlumbing.com. That's B-A-E-T-H-K-E plumbing.com is our website, or you can call us at 773-276-5430.
Michael Houston, sales manager, Lindholm Roofing.
Do you always save the best for last?
I knew you were going to say that. I almost actually said it myself, but I knew you'd toot your own horn. How do people reach you, Michael?
Lindholm Roofing, it's 773-283-7675. Or info at lindholmroofing.com.
And Sparkle Window Cleaner was invented in Elgin, Illinois. I know the family whose grandfather invented it. Iridian, thanks for producing today, and thank you so much for hanging out, all of you. And Lou is back next week. News coming your way next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.